This episode of the Two Fat Expats is brought to you by the Shangri-La Doha. To book your next stay, go to www.shangri-la.com/Doha.
Kiss me and smile for me.
Tell me that you'll wait for me.
Hold me like you'll never let me go.
'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane.
I don't know when I'll be back again.
Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Oh, far out. I hope that was better than last week's.
We're not known for our singing prowess.
And I've got a feeling my email did a little ding in the middle of someone singing, but I'm sorry about that. We're just not professional, are we?
No.
Do you know in last week's recording, I get really hot still from the whole chemo radio, body frizzling thing. And so on last week's recording, if you listen very closely, you can hear this duk, 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 and it's me fanning myself in the middle of the podcast.
Do you know, you could also hear last week that you were talking about a really good point, so I didn't want to interrupt, but I could hear the birds chirping.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I got like a bit of a pang of homesickness because you could really hear the birds chirping while you were recording.
Do you know,
for me is I have this office chair that I think needs a bit of a oil and grease change because every time I move, it creaks.
Well, I always make us stand up when we're at home, don't I?
And because even though we don't look at each other, I still, and you know, I do like to talk with my hands. And so even though I'm just sitting here by myself, I'm still like making gestures with my hands, and I've got to be careful. I've got to keep my bum really still because my seat's really loud.
Okay, so how's your week been, Sez? How's Doha? You know, it's cold,
it is,
I hear.
Freezing cold. And yesterday we were down at the Pearl, and Matt and I both said to each other, it feels like it's going to snow. Like you could feel that, you know, that wind that you get that comes off the mountains. It felt like that. And then today I woke up to the news that both Kuwait and Saudi Arabia have had snowfall. So that's why it felt like that yesterday. And Matt said it was colder yesterday in Doha than it was the week leading up to Christmas when he was in Munich.
Wow.
Like it is bitterly cold. And it's all anyone's talking about.
I bet they are. I bet they are. It's like when it rains.
Yes. Like there is just puffer vest central at the moment. At Doha, you walk in the shops and everyone's wearing their puffer vests.
I'm amazed anyone even has a puffer vest in Doha to put on. I leave mine here at the beach. Well,
yeah, see, I keep all my winter coats with me.
That's very clever. I think I've always got way too much stuff in my suitcase, so I've got to hide stuff here and then take stuff back.
That's because you bring back all your tampons and your tins of passion fruit.
Yeah, so it says season 2, episode 15, we're talking about how to get the most out of your air miles. And we both have admitted that we very selfishly wanted to do this episode because neither of us have a clue.
That's right. We are hopeless when it comes to getting the most out of our miles because we always just book the cheapest flight with whatever airline's doing a deal at the time we're ready to book.
Same here. We don't
think about the miles. It's, you know, we go online, we compare the different airlines and whatever's the cheapest option, that's how we roll. And so we do, and then we will sign, and we always have this conversation. So we'll sign up to that airline's frequent flyer, deal, and then we never fly that airline again because the next time we take a trip, another airline is a better deal. So we are hopeless.
Yeah, same here. We do the cheapest we can possibly find. We're always in economy. You know, I guess we're always just trying to make the most out of the money that we have to go home. But for us, we're feeling that's going to change now that Qatar Airways has the direct flight Adelaide-Doha.
That's right, and same with us to Sydney. And I think that's probably the reason we've always tried to find the best deal is because we could never fly direct from Qatar to Sydney. But that's all about to change next month, in March. And because Matt uses Qatar Airways to fly for all of his trips, so hopefully we're going to get a little bit smarter with our points.
Now, I don't know if I've told you this, Sez, but with the Doha-Adelaide flight, the very first one is in May. And Our Lizzie, my eldest, is going to be on that very first flight.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's fun. Do they get a little prize, I wonder?
Well, anyone who has a teenager will identify with this. When everybody said to her, oh, my gosh, Lizzie, you're so lucky. You know, you're going to be on the very first flight. Probably the media will be there and you might get a present. And she, as only a 15-year-old girl could feel, was, oh, God, how embarrassing. You know, because everyone's going to be looking at her.
That's so true. But that's pretty exciting.
It's really exciting. And,
it might be like Party Central on that plane.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're very excited about it because I will fly. That will be her first trip back to Doha from boarding school, which starts tomorrow. I know, Sirs, it's been a... I've had a very strange day today where I've driven around with her all day, turning my head sideways so she can't see that I'm crying because I just something will come into my mind and I'll go, yeah. Yep, okay, just look in the other direction, wipe away the tears and just keep driving.
And is it weird that you're going to be still in the same city?
Well, from
it's not like you're dropping her off and then you're heading back to Doha. You're still going to be in Adelaide for the next couple of weeks, aren't you?
Yes. Well, the plan is, because I'm here for the next 3 weeks, I've got three more weeks of radiation. And, mm-hmm. I mean, this is the really sucky thing, is I have to drop her off at school at 9:30 tomorrow and it's more of a getting comfortable day tomorrow. Like all the boarders go, the new boarders come at 9:30, the old boarders come at lunchtime, there's a barbecue for the parents in the afternoon, there's an information session. You know, I'll be there all day, yeah. I won't leave until 6 o'clock that night, I think, mm-hmm. or 7 o'clock that night. But, of course, what do we have to do before we go to school tomorrow? Mum has to go and have radiation. And so I was just thinking about it. So we've, 8:10, we're going to radiation early so we can then go to school for the day. But it was just like, what a sucky thing to do to your kid, the day that they have to do that. But it has to be done. And I have to say she has been incredibly cool about the whole thing and has been coming along with me and sitting in reception while I go in and get it done. But, it wasn't really how we had it planned.
Yeah, but these things happen and better to go and get it done than not have it done at all.
Oh, that's very true. How did you know that that's what I was considering?
Because I know you pretty well. And does she wear her school uniform tomorrow?
No. Well, far out, just I hope casual. Not. But, we're going casual, so I'm hoping not. But it's not a school day. School starts tomorrow's Monday and school starts on Tuesday. So back to your original how weird will it be. From what I gather and what I'm kind of planning, and maybe I'm about to get told the opposite, but I'm allowed to go and get her without sort of her needing to be signed in and signed out. So I'm thinking that for the next few weeks we'll get a special kind of pass that she can come with me on Saturday nights and come and stay back at the beach with me. And that I can, maybe go and pick her up to take her to go and get a haircut or take her to the doctors, after school, because she is allowed to, between school finishing at 3:45 and dinner starting at 6, she is allowed to go for a walk to the shops and, get out of the boarding house. So I imagine being the kid with the parents from overseas, I'm probably allowed to come and get her, during the week and do that. But, yes, it will feel
and
very
strange.
And on
top of that, you can just play the cancer card as well.
Absolutely.
Play that, milk that for what it's worth. Sorry, I'm just coming in to take my daughter out for coffee because I've got cancer. Play that.
Yes. I have full intentions of, doing that, because we don't know if we'll all be here next year, do we?
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one.
God, we're terrible, Sarah. We're terrible. Okay, so let's get back to the air miles.
Yes.
Now, you were saying you got onto this because your sister-in-law told you about a guy on Instagram.
Yeah, so when we were back home over the summer, my sister-in-law was telling him about this guy that she follows on Instagram called One Mile at a Time, and the guy's called Ben Schlappig, and he is a full-time travel blogger who racks up over 400,000 1,000 air miles each year. And so I will put his website in our show notes, but he has got some great tips because it's all very confusing. To me, it's all quite confusing. I think that's why we've never really gotten into it all that much, because it's just all, you know, it's when you fly and what credit cards you should have and which alliance you should join to and when you can upgrade and when you can't upgrade, and, you know, sometimes your miles run out or you need to use them in a shop and you come away with, I don't know, heaps of bottles of Chanel perfume because you can't use them on a flight. So he's got a really great website that he lets you know the best credit cards you should have, as to which credit cards give the best points. He does trip reports. You can ask him questions. He's got a Facebook page, an Instagram account. It's really, really clever, his website, and I've learned a lot so far.
And, Sarah, do we know where he's from? Is he American or English?
He's American. So most of the credit cards are American credit cards. So that might not help some of our listeners. But I'm guessing, like, Citibank, that's a worldwide bank. So I'm guessing the Citibank credit card in the States, the same would apply for a Citibank credit card in the UK or the Middle East.
Yeah. And I just on the credit cards, I was talking to a girlfriend last night who is the queen of air miles. I think she has something like 500,000 air miles, mm-hmm. enough that she's just given her brother 100,000 to fly back to Australia from the States. But she was telling me that she completely milks the credit card thing. Like, she will sign up for a credit card solely just to get the air miles, and will then cancel the credit card within the allowed time, you know, that you can use the air miles and do whatever. And because she's got her own little business, she said she'll use that credit card for her business and then just shut it down. And she said she constantly changes, and then she'll wait until the period of time till you can sign up again, and she'll go and do the whole thing all over again.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so she has got hundreds of thousands of air miles, she said, just by doing special credit card deals.
Ah, see, when we moved to Doha and we couldn't fly direct from Qatar to Sydney, we don't use credit cards. We have them, but we don't use them. We do cash for everything. However, then when the flight came up of Doha to Sydney direct, and now Matt's travelling, he travels now 2 weeks out of every month pretty much. Mm-hmm. So he's earning a lot of points. We then decided to, last week I mentioned we swapped banks that would help with buying a property in the States. The bank that we've signed up to also has a great point, you know, air miles with Qatar Airways. So now that we're going to be flying Qatar Airways a lot, we're now doing the whole thing where I buy all my grocery cards, I do all my grocery shopping using this credit card to get the points. And so we've started doing that, which we've never really done before, because having a credit card in Qatar doesn't help you if you're flying Emirates out of Dubai.
Sarah, are we allowed to say who the bank is? Because I want to know, and I'm sure if I want to know, other people want to know.
It's QNB, Qatar National Bank.
Right. And can we just be clear that we have no deal with them? And
there's
that we
no affiliation with them whatsoever.
Right.
And Matt joined us up to this bank regardless of what we do for a living. So it's got nothing to do with the two fat expats. It's just my husband did his research and this was decided that this was the bank for us. And the great thing about QNB is when you sign up to their credit cards, we've got a Visa card and a MasterCard. They have fantastic lounge access all over the world. So even if you're flying economy, you can have access to lounges in, I think, nearly every airport in the world.
That's
which is
we
handy.
Want. So how does that work? How do you mean you get lounge access? Just by showing your credit
card? Yeah. And because I guess I don't know how it works, maybe the salary that he earns, I'm not sure, but we got one of the WizBank credit cards.
Yes. Well,
so he came home with that credit card. there were words, because I've had in my past, pre-Matt, I've had some problems with credit cards, and that's why we haven't used them in our marriage. So it's all, this is our first month with it. We're just taking it as it goes and see how we go with it, see how I go with it. But it's seems like it's a really good deal for airlines and lounges and all that business.
Now, I know the bank that we bank with, that is, you know, the one we talked about last week, a very common expat bank, and I'm not going to say their name because we don't like them that much this week, but they have the same deal. You can have a Premier card with them. But I've been stuck there before because we, you know, they told us we were special and that's why we were getting one of those cards and that that would get us in the lounge. But then I remember going to get into the lounge and saying that I had the Premier card and being told, no, not today, sunshine. So I don't know whether that's still the case with that bank. So I think you've got to be really careful, don't you, to lounge access is so tough.
Exactly. If you're flying, you know, peak time during when businessmen fly, or if you're flying during the school holidays, obviously they're going to get their, they're going to give their lounge access to people flying business and first. But it doesn't hurt to go and see if you can get in, I guess. But I'm sure it's the same with this credit card. I'm sure every time we turn up, it'll be, oh, sorry, we're full. We can't let you in. And when Matt travels for business, he travels business class or first class. So he gets access to those lounges anyway, regardless of the credit card. So it'll be interesting when Sadie and I fly to see if we can get in. At the end of the day, I actually don't like sitting in the lounge. I like sitting out with everyone else and people watching. I find it much more interesting. But anyway, it's good to know that this card may give us access to, I don't know, go and have a shower or have some free food.
Yeah, I have to say this last time when I flew home, it was fantastic being able to have a shower. I think it just depends how long that layover is.
Yeah, and see, if we're flying direct from Sydney to Doha, well, then there's no need for me to have a shower. But it's different when you're doing your layovers in different cities and stuff. It is nice to have access to a lounge.
Could you imagine leave home, drive to the airport, have a shower?
I'm here for my free shower. I just had one an hour and a half ago, but I'd like another one. I forgot to shave my pits. Can I come in and shave my pits, please?
Now, we also had Danielle, who said there's a website called the Travel Hacking Cartel that finds all the best deals and offers that help you use your frequent flyer points. And she said she used to be a member, but she doesn't travel as much anymore. So she's not, because you actually pay to be a member of the Travel Hacking Cartel, but she thought it was really worth it if you were a regular traveller.
Right, and I wonder what she means by regular traveller. Is this, you know, a family that travels a couple of times a year on holidays, or is it more business people that are travelling for work? You know, what constitutes a regular traveller?
Yeah, well, your Matt is definitely, he's more than a regular traveller, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he is, yeah. But, see, I would say that I'm a fairly, you know, you go on a few holidays a year, I think that's a regular traveller. I don't know. It depends on what's a regular traveller.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what was Amy saying?
So Amy said it depends on the airline you're with. Some points for a child, some you have to pay the same in points for a child. So it's better to pay for a child's seat and use points for adults. Now, that's a really good tip because children tend to be, I think, is it 20% of the fare now if you're, because there's an infant stage where I think it's 50, you pay 50% of the full price ticket, and then from I think 2 to 12, maybe it's 20% of the, I'm not sure how it all works.
Oh, I get it. So why would you waste all those points on a seat that is effectively cheaper anyway?
That's right. So just use the points to upgrade for your adult, for the adult tickets. Yeah.
Now, Fred left a fantastic message, and I think if anyone wants to, we might put a link to the Facebook thread for this one so people can go back and read it if they want, because there was a lot of messages to read. But the final point he sort of made was that if you really want to fly comfortably, like if it's all about I want to sit up the front, that he said the low-cost airlines have the premium seats, which are sometimes cheaper than economy class on full-service airlines. So I guess he's saying if you want to fly Air China, you can fly business class a lot cheaper than probably you'll pay for a full price economy fare on BA or Qantas or whatever.
We actually had friends recently that went to the Maldives on holidays, or the Maldives, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, and they could have flown Qatar Airways direct. They chose to fly Sri Lankan Airlines, so you did have a stop in Sri Lanka, but it wasn't a big deal, and it was cheaper for them to fly as a family in business on Sri Lankan Airlines than what it was to fly economy on Qatar Airways. And the Sri Lankan Airlines business class still had the lay down seats and all of that kind of stuff. Like it was still fancy schmancy, but cheaper than Qatar Airways. So that's something to look into. If you want to be up the front, maybe go on some of the cheaper airlines.
Oh, definitely. I don't care. I would, if it meant stretching your legs out and being comfortable, don't care. And I reckon you get great food on Sri Lankan Airlines as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, when we've gone to Sri Lanka, we've always gone Sri Lankan Airlines because, again, it was the better deal. And it's a quick trip. Like, it's 3.5 hours. Like, it's, you know,
from I don't Doha, need it to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need to be all whiz-bang just popping over to Sri Lanka. But that's a good tip to really – I think what I've taken away from reading everyone's comments is really shop around.
Yes.
And the other thing is don't buy the cheapest economy ticket because you don't get the points.
Yes.
And that's where Matt and I have gone wrong. You know, when you go to book online, you tend to get two or three options for economy. We've always gone with that cheapest one where you can't change it. You can only take, you know, a kilo of luggage on, all of that kind of stuff.
You can just take a handbag.
Yeah. If you could just sit down on the wing, that'd be great. but if you spend that little bit more and get the full service economy, then it's often you get 100% mileage. You can upgrade. We're flying Lufthansa in March to go for our skiing trip, and booking the premium economy on there, we're now getting two bags each for 23 kilos each. So that's fantastic. And we can use Matt's points to upgrade us because he flies Lufthansa when he goes to Europe. So when we would have in the past gone cheap and cheerful economy, we've spent just that little bit more to get a better ticket, but it just comes with better benefits.
Yes. So Angel was saying that they accrue massive amounts of points on their US Citibank MasterCard that they use for miles on any airline in the world. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and she redeemed $7,000 worth of airline tickets for using their miles.
Wow.
And the guy that I was talking about before, One Mile at a Time, Ben Schleppig, it's actually the Citibank credit card that he says is one of the top ones to have. Whereas Amex, you have to pay that hefty annual fee that you don't have with Citibank there, and your fee is only $95. And her husband got a second card for free.
I'm very jealous of the Americans. Like, they really do seem to have really good frequent flyer deals, don't they? Like, just about everybody that left a message said that, you know, if you're flying out of Australia, it's so much more expensive, that our frequent flyer miles aren't as generous, you know, that that whole thing about Qantas and Virgin having the monopoly.
Yeah, I guess Australia, we just don't have the competition. There's no market for it, so they can really do what they want, can't they? Whereas in the States and Europe, there's so many more airlines to choose from, and I guess they make it, they, you know, they entice you with better credit card deals and everything like this.
Yeah. That says, I got up this morning very early to speak to my friend Ian, and you would have seen Ian's name pop up a lot because Ian and Rosie, his wife, are expats who had lived in Mumbai and they'd gone back to the UK and then they'd lived in Brisbane. And now they have just 2 weeks ago relocated back to the UK. And I really wanted to have a chat to Ian because he had mentioned that they just have the one frequent flyer membership with One Air Alliance. So he's with One World that sort of floats his boat. But
and that's who Qatar Airways are with.
Yes, that's right. And that's sort of who BA's with and Qantas is with. Yes. And so
Etihad, I believe, are with them.
Yes. And he,
as with Emirates,
he suggested signing up with flyertalk.com. That was his site. But why don't we have a listen to Ian and what Ian had to say?
Well, what I do is I just basically pick one airline in each of the main alliances. So for One World, you've got like Qantas, you've got British Airways, American Airlines. Those are the biggies. And then now you've got Qatar Airways as well, I think, in there. But because I'm a Brit, I've been flying with BA for work, certainly for the last sort of 15 years. And so I've got not a big air miles balance, but a few hundred thousand. And so whenever I'd fly Qantas or American, I'd always put my BA frequent flyer number in because you can use those BA miles on any One World flight. You don't have to use them on the same airline. So when I've stayed in Australia for a couple of years, I didn't see any point in signing up for a Qantas frequent flyer because I had all those BA miles. I could just accumulate more through flying with Qantas because I'd get the BA miles from them.
And do you accumulate exactly as many with BA if you're flying Qantas, or is it less, or how does that work?
It's you require fewer miles with if you fly Qantas and put your BA number in, because they obviously want you to be a Qantas frequent flyer, and BA would prefer you to fly BA wherever possible, so you don't earn quite so many miles with partners. When I flew, I had to fly to the US from Australia last year, and I made sure that I checked at how many miles I would earn on the Qantas flight from Brisbane to Los Angeles. And if I booked it on the Qantas flight number, it was going to be about a fifth of the number of miles I'd earn if I booked it under the American Airlines code share.
Wow.
Which is just bizarre.
Yes.
So I made sure that the travel agent booked me on the American Airlines code share. So it's still the same flight, still the Qantas plane, but my ticket had the American Airlines code share on it. So I got more miles and I got more tier points, I think.
And that seems to be the general theme, Ian, is that people say that Australia is just terrible for what they give back in air miles, because they just really have the monopoly.
I think they do. You've got Qantas and Virgin, and that's kind of all you have to choose from. Whereas, you know, if you're based over here in Europe, then you've obviously got way more choice with all the European airlines. Mm. So maybe they have to be a bit more generous, I don't know. But it's also down to the fact that BA, I think, and Qantas kind of fell out when Qantas moved away to Emirates for the Kangaroo route back to Europe and the UK.
Uh-huh.
And BA and American Airlines have more of a tight partnership now within Oneworld, so BA would prefer you to fly with American, because probably they get more cash as a part of that revenue if you booked on an American flight over to the US from the UK.
Now, have you ever struggled to use your air miles for upgrades? Is that hard to do with your BA?
You've kind of got to pick your route, and you've got to pick your kind of flight times and stuff. So if you fly in the school holidays, then you really are going to struggle in lots of ways. Or maybe if you sort of fly peak business season, like, you know, early in the new year and stuff, it's going to be hard. And if you fly a route where they have very few business class seats on that route, you know, they've got different size planes, and some planes have, you know, like 30 business class seats, and others have like 70. And like over to New York, maybe from London, certainly you've got some flights which are like prime business travel flights, where the businessmen, the bankers and stuff are flying backwards and forwards. And then you've got other daytime flights where they're less popular from a business point of view. So you've got maybe fewer business class seats, but more availability for upgrades if you pick those flights.
And you mentioned a website, flyertalk.com. What sort of information are you getting from that when you hit the website?
Yeah, well, you can get information on pretty much any of the frequent flyer programs on any of the airlines out there. You know, there's a board for British Airways, there's a board for American, there's a Qantas board, there's a Cathay Pacific, Singapore Airlines, all that kind of stuff on there. You're getting information about how the programs work and what the members of those websites kind of feel are the best use of miles. So they'll say, never buy a long-haul economy ticket because it's just not worth it in miles. The miles cost is so high, you can get it for so little cash now that it's not worth the effort. But if you buy an economy flight and use the miles to upgrade into business or premium economy, then it starts to get more worthwhile. You're getting information about that. You're getting information on sort of loopholes or kind of tricks to maximise miles, and even stuff like, you know, where are the best seats to sit, from people that literally fly every week or every 2 weeks on these planes. And they'll say, yeah, don't pick that seat, but this one, although, you know, it's got like an extra 6 inches of leg room because it's at the bulkhead, and stuff like that.
It's amazing. Those people almost like, what was that movie with George Clooney and...
Was up in the air.
Yeah.
That was just insane, the amount of flying they do. But these guys literally do that. They're in and out all the time, a lot of them. And you know, I'm just an amateur, you know, and these guys are sort of in the same vein, but, you know, I don't fly very much compared to any of these guys. We're just all kind of learning about the programs to say, okay, how can I get the most number of miles for these things? Like going from Australia to Europe, for example, I could get a few more air miles and a few more status credits or tier points if I flew through Singapore than if I flew through, say, Hong Kong, because the flight was slightly longer, so it would flip over into two proper long hauls. So I'd get more points, which tipped me up into the next bracket for I then got my BA Silver card, which is One World Sapphire, I think. So that gets me lounge access and stuff like that. So when I go, I'm going to the States with my wife, Rosie, and we're going for a friend's wedding. It's one of those expat things. We're going to the US. We're staying in Houston with some Canadian friends who we met in America, who we met in Australia. We're going then to see some friends in Tulsa who we met in Mumbai, who are American. Then we're flying on to Austin for a wedding of a British guy who's marrying an American who I first met in the UK. And we're seeing one of our good friends who I met in Cairo first. And then we were out in Brisbane together and I met in Bolivia. And that she's going out. So it's that typical expat thing. But because I've got my BA frequent flyer, it ties me to One World. But that's fine because it means when I fly American Airlines over there, I'll get lounge access. And the way that the American Airlines upgrades sort of work, they're more likely to upgrade you into, you know, business or first or whatever on those domestic flights as a frequent flyer. You know, the cheapest economy fares, they just don't earn anything. You never get any status credits. You never get enough miles to really do anything unless you fly economy like once a month for 10 years.
Yes.
So it's the employees and flying around on like long haul business. Yes. That really earn the miles. And that, you know, like I said, I haven't got that many miles compared to a lot of people. I've got maybe 300,000 BA miles. I've got hardly anything with Singapore or United or anyone like that. I've always been a One World fan, you know, because yes. I've always flown BA from London. But, you know, it's those occasions, if, you know, we're lucky enough that BG will fly us home once a year in business from Australia because it's so far. And so that's how my kids got, you know, frequent flyer cards. And my wife's got one now because I chose the right route and stuff to get them all up to that next status level. So they all get lounge access independently of me.
Now, when you say you chose the right route, what do you mean?
Well, so if you say going from Brisbane to Singapore, if I fly with Qantas to Singapore, I think I get 120 tier points, which are like Qantas status credits, equivalent with BA. And then from Singapore to London, because it's just that little bit further from London, I think I then get 140 or 160 or something like that. So, but effectively, I forget the math, but effectively I got, with that return flight, I got 600 tier points with BA. And that meant that that ticked me up into silver, which is Qantas gold equivalent. Which gives you the lounge access and stuff. Now, had I flown to Hong Kong, I would have got fewer status points because the flight was slightly shorter back to London. So I wouldn't have got that silver card. So I wouldn't have got lounge access. So kind of that's where you go back onto somewhere like Flyer Talk or just onto the airline websites to say, okay, exactly how many status points am I going to earn on this route that I'm doing? Is there an alternative route that I could fly which would give me more?
Does
that kind of make sense?
Yes. So you're almost better off picking a flight that's going to have you in the air longer.
Yeah, it's a slightly longer distance or whatever, or slightly longer time, and so it counts for more status points and more miles as well, obviously. And if you're in a premium economy or business or first, then clearly you earn way more miles now than you do down the back in cheapest economy. So, yeah, it's just like picking the route that will give you the most favourable amount of points and saying, and, you know, people will get up to, like, you know, say 580 tier points and say, oh, you know, crap, I just need another 20 with BA to get silver and that'll give me lounge access for a year. And it's like, okay, well, you need a route that will give you 10 tier points each way or 20 tier points one way and, you know, sod all the other way. Okay, where can I go that's going to give me that? Oh, I can fly from London to Paris in like business one way and cheapest economy back the other way, and then I'll get that silver card. And so that's people that start doing these things called mileage runs, basically just to get their status up. Yes. To the next level, to give them what they need. And you can read all about those as well.
He's lovely.
I'm having a man on the podcast.
I know. Is that our first one? Is that our first man?
No, we had Nigel a couple of months ago. But
yes. I'm sure Nigel's really going to like it that I just said, was that our first man? And he's just such a great guy. And bizarrely, Ian, remember we spoke to Shannon, who was in Brisbane,
Yes.
On the Christmas episode. Well, Shannon and Ian and Rosie all lived on the same street in Brisbane.
Oh, my gosh, that is a small world.
I know. And Ian was saying that, you know, at Christmas time they were having a glass of champagne and Shannon said, I have to go and talk to Kirsty on the podcast. And he said, oh, that's so cool. And now today I got to talk to him. So it was really, really cool. Yeah, yeah. But didn't he have some really insightful advice, I thought?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big key is joining one of those alliances. So join a One World or a Star, what is it? There's a Star Alliance that has got, you know, quite of the major airlines on there as well. And then if you're flying, see, this is where I always go wrong. I've got to look at the alliances. So we're now with Qatar Airways. That means I'm part of the One World Alliance. So when we maybe want to fly to a Thailand or to a Sri Lanka or somewhere like that, I need to go in there and make sure that we're using their affiliate airlines, because then you can use your frequent flyer points.
But I thought the really great point that he made, and this is where we've gone wrong, is, yes, we always knew, you know, that Star Alliance was Singapore Airlines and One World was, you know, Qatar and Qantas. Mm-hmm. But I think what I hadn't understood before I spoke to him, I had imagined that when he was in Australia, he got Qantas frequent flyers, and that when he was in London, he got BA frequent flyers, etc. Yeah. And he said no, that he stuck with BA because it was a much better deal, and that when he flew in the States, because he had the BA frequent flyers, you know, that he ended up getting upgraded when he was in the States, because American Airlines, you know, had a much better relationship with BA. And I think that's where I've gone wrong, is I've handed over my Qantas frequent flyer numbers, you know, on some flights, and then I hand over my Qatar frequent flyers on a different flight, and I'm really without looking at who's giving me the best value out of those airlines.
Absolutely. And the other thing that Ian mentioned is that he uses a travel agent. And I really, that, because we always book online, and I just wonder if going back to a travel agent is a better option, because travel agents can sometimes see other flights that may not be available online. I don't think airlines put up all of their flights.
Oh, yeah, look, I have to say, you have to use a travel agent. And people might really disagree with me on this one, but we've done it both ways. And my girlfriend Chrissy is our travel agent. And the reason why I'd say it's much better is that I have been able to hand the phone to Christina while I've been standing at the desk of the airline arguing about, no, I should be getting more than 20 kilos worth of luggage. This isn't right. And, you know, being able to ask for her help. But also because she's done exactly what you've just said, Sayers, in that we've had a few hiccups lately where the kids and I were meant to fly home and we had to cancel our flights when I was diagnosed with cancer. Yeah. And having a travel agent to fix that for you and get that all organised, I mean, you can't do that online. You can't.
Yeah, that was the big thing that I took away from Ian's interview, is that we just never have considered using a travel agent. I don't know. I think it's just sometimes we felt it was easy just to sit down at the computer and quickly book online. But I think, we're going to go back to using a travel agent, I think, because they can see all of the flights available. They would definitely have relationships with the airlines that we don't.
They sure do. I know Chrissy was wining and dining with Qatar Airways only a couple of weeks ago. And so there you go. And they do. They have, you know, they're constantly going on holidays or not. I mean, they would pretend that it was work, obviously. But I think, you know, there's a reason why travel agents exist. And I think we all veered away from them for a while because we thought we could just get these great online deals.
Yeah.
But
I think when the internet really boomed and everything like that, you thought, oh, well, you don't use a travel agent because you can do it, you know, better by yourself. But definitely not now. I'm changing my ways. I'm going to start using travel agents.
Okay. So in Asia, our reader Rachel Tandy said that Cathay Pacific has a great deal with Amex and that they accrue Asia miles and convert them to flights. Their bookings are made as far in advance as possible in the most successful way of using them. Going on a wait list for short notice can also be successful, she said. And she said she spent many years accruing Qantas miles as a lifetime member, and they are fiendishly hard to use, and they keep removing the privileges, and I would have to agree.
I remember, when I was living in Melbourne and I was pregnant with Sadie and I had some dramas during my pregnancy, Mum was actually able to use all of her miles to fly down for free a lot to Melbourne. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, but Mum uses a travel agent, so maybe that was why.
Yes, yeah.
Her travel agent might have had a few connections there.
Now, in South Africa, our Clara Wiggins, who was previously in the UK, and she said that they felt very lucky. There's a BA franchise in South Africa called Comair, which uses BA planes and accepts BA air miles.
Yeah. So,
thought that was really
that's
good.
The whole code share thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
Now, says, I had to ask you what this meant because Donna Young told us that her husband had signed up to QSL and you were able to tell me that that was...
The Qatar Soccer League. And do you know why I know that? Because I can't stand soccer, but one of our really good friends, Dave, he's like one of the big wigs at QSL. So I knew straight away because it's his company that he works for. And he was telling me, well, actually his wife, Bevy, was telling me the other day that hardly anyone goes to the soccer here. That, you know, the crowds are at a minimum, which is really sad. And so I'm guessing that's why QSL has this rewards program to actually get bums on seats at the games.
Yeah, so Donna said you can buy a season's ticket for 200 Qatar riyals. And for those who don't live in Qatar, that's what, about
$60? Yes, between $60 or $70. How cheap is that?
I know. And that for every game he attends, he gets 5,000 reward points.
Fantastic.
And 2,500 air miles with Qatar Airways?
2,500 air miles with Qatar Airways. I'm going to start going to the soccer just to get those points.
I know, because she said if he goes to most of the games over the season, he'll get 50,000 Qatar air miles.
And I wonder if that means you can just walk in and walk out.
I wonder.
Or do they make you sit and watch the game? But that is a fantastic rewards program.
It is. It really is. And there's some great soccer players here because all the superstar soccer players who retire all come here and get paid gigabytes.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. I'm saying they all come here and I'm actually not sitting in Doha right now. I'm sitting in Australia. But, yes, they all go to Doha. Now, there was also someone else mentioned a website called The Points Guy. That was Melissa Groom was telling us that they have a Facebook site and website or a Facebook page and a website. And she said The Points Guy always has great info and that she got 2-for-1 tickets to South Africa last year just from The Points Guy.
That's fantastic.
All right, but this was my favourite one, says, and this is the one that I just had to call as soon as I was in a restaurant when I read Robin's message last night and I read it and immediately Skyped her from the restaurant and said, can we talk in 2 hours' time? It'll take me, you know, that long to get home and talk to you. So Robin told us that on long-haul flights she used to buy business class tickets from a points jockey. And I had never, ever heard of it. And she said he'd buy unused airline miles from corporations and heavy travellers and then he would turn around and sell those air miles as for people to buy that they could use for business class tickets. So
that is smart entrepreneur right there.
I know. So we're going to listen to Robin. Robin is in Poland now, but she was in KL when this all happened. So let's have a little listen to Robin.
We call it a points jockey. We had only heard about it when we lived in KL, and we were looking for inexpensive business class tickets to get home to New York because it's such a long trip. And I really did not want to sit in economy for 30 some odd hours. And so we searched and searched and searched. And my husband types in cheap business class tickets. And this website popped up.
And tell me how it works. So what did you have to do?
Well, we typed in approximately what date we wanted to leave, where we were going, where we were coming from, how many travelers we had. And within about 12 hours, this very nice man calls us back and he says, yeah, I can find you tickets. And he quotes us a price and we're like, wow, those are so much cheaper than Expedia or any of those other big travel websites. And my husband looks at me and he covers the phone. He says, is this legit? And I'm like, I don't know. So we did a little more research And what happens is he transfers a whole bunch of miles into a frequent flyer account that you've set up. And essentially, you use those miles to purchase tickets.
Do you? Is it an existing frequent flyers account that you already have, or you have to then go and set up a frequent flyers account?
So we've booked with him twice from KL, and we've been in two different airlines each time. And each time we set up new accounts with the airline that we would be using.
Wow. And are you still doing it? Because you're now living in Poland. So can you still do it now from Poland?
Yes. If I needed to, I could now. But now an 8-hour flight to New York just doesn't seem so bad. So we will probably, I told my kids the good old days of business class are over and we'll go back to economy. But yes, we had many friends who used him and have had no problems. So,
and I'm having the same feeling that you had. Is it legal or is it illegal?
So I just did some research on this because I'm like, okay, what is the deal? So from my reading, it is not illegal per se. No one is going to come arrest you for doing this. It is against most airline policies for people to sell miles or buy miles, but a friend can transfer miles to you.
And so your miles jockey was merely just a friend.
He's our friend, yes. He is our friend, and that's how we always refer to him. He is our friend. But I did some reading, and if the airline is suspicious that you have purchased your miles from some place like this, they could technically cancel your tickets.
Oh, ouch.
We've never had that happen. We've never had any friends who have had that happen. So we've always been 100% happy. But I guess it is a risk, which until about 20 minutes ago, I wasn't aware of.
Now, tell me then, Robin, how much cheaper are we talking? Like, how much do you think you saved if you had have booked the tickets normally?
Oh, we saved thousands of dollars, in all honesty. I can probably say we probably saved between $1,500 and $2,000 per ticket.
Wow.
Coming from Kuala Lumpur, so yes.
Any other air miles tricks that you've picked up along the way?
No, we've become smarter. So I always head home with my two boys, you know, first ahead of my husband. And it's, you know, not so expensive to get to a major airport. But we live 4 hours north of JFK. We live in upstate New York. And for us to buy a plane ticket from JFK to get to the small airport near us, it's not cost effective. So we fly directly to JFK, and then we found that for us to book a limousine service has become cheaper. So we don't even bother with purchasing that short hop. We also have credit cards that reward us for our spending and allow us to erase any of our travel expenses that we choose, things like that. But yeah, those are the biggies that we use.
Wasn't that amazing?
So, I just hope Robin doesn't get arrested. Robin, that's one of those tricks that I would find very hard to share with people because that is almost winning the lottery right there that you wouldn't want anyone else to know about.
But Robin did say that now that they were living somewhere where it wasn't such a long-haul flight that they wouldn't
yeah, not worth it.
It wasn't worth it. But I think for her...
I can't believe she saved thousands of dollars. That's just ridiculous. That's crazy.
Now, it wouldn't work in Australia because airlines in Australia only let you transfer your air miles to your family. But
yes,
obviously it's another one of these American things that you can. Because I know they were saying that someone was telling me this today, that Qantas, it has to be a family member. And Virgin, it not only has to be a family member, but you have to share the same address.
Oh, right. So it's your husband, or your wife, or your kid. See, but they can get away with things like that because there's really only two major airlines back home.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Whereas the Americans have got too much competition, so that's how you can benefit from them.
So, Says, we're going to put all of these sites up on our page on
Yeah, and I found some really good articles as well about the best ways to use your miles and 10 ways not to use your miles. And when I clicked on that, I was guilty of number one, and that was redeeming your miles for merchandise, because there has been times when we're getting ready to run out of our miles and Matt will head into the Qatar Airways shop and buy me some perfume or buy some Lego for Sadie, but apparently that's the bad thing to do. But I don't mind it. I almost feel like I'm getting a bottle of Chanel perfume for free, even though we've actually spent a fortune on flights to get that Chanel perfume. But there's that feeling of you're getting a gift.
And we should explain, Suze, that the reason why they say that is because if you redeem them, they might only be worth 1 cent per mile. So you get whereas if you use them for flying, they're worth a lot more.
And another tip was transferring miles to others. You should have like British Airways, for instance, has a household account. So you can book flights for anyone in your family. If you didn't have a household account and you were just transferring your miles to someone else, you end up paying, close to $30 in a transaction fee. So you're taking off the value of all of those miles that you're transferring. And see, this guy's saying don't use your airline miles for hotel stays.
Why?
He says it's rarely a good idea. Looking at the options from American, Delta and United, I've found that you are getting values of at most 1.2 cents per mile on these package redemptions, and it's usually much closer to the 0.8 cent mark.
Now, says talking about hotels, when we were at the Shangri-La, what was Rueda telling us that Qatar Airways were going to do?
Now, for any members of the Qatar Airways frequent flyer program, the Shangri-La in Doha, the offer is valid until the end of February, and all Q-Mile members get 50% off on spa treatments, stays at the hotel, so nights at the hotel, and dinner at their Sridhan restaurant, which is their fantastic buffet restaurant. All they have to do is book online on their website and put their Q-Miles number in the comments section, and the deal will be made for them. So I'll put that up into the show notes, because that is at 50% off a night stay or the spa treatments. That's fantastic. But you need to book by the end of Feb.
Okay, Sarah, so social media. You and I are sharing one this week, because I started watching this two nights ago as well, and I'm with you. Totally with you.
Chelsea?
I love it.
Me too. Now, Chelsea Handler, she's a US comedian. She used to have a show on the E channel. She's I think with Chelsea, people either love or hate her, because she's very straightforward. She doesn't hold back, and she's a little bit rough around the edges, would you say?
Yes, I
I love her.
I love her too, and I can really identify with her in this one, because it's more of a doco than...
It's on Netflix, and it's a documentary series called Chelsea Does, and there's four episodes that go for about an hour and a half, and she covers marriage, Silicon Valley, drugs and racism. And it's very funny, and she does put her own comedic spin on it, but you actually learn a lot, and it really makes you think about all of these issues. Like, I found it really, really interesting, especially the marriage one, because she's never wanted to get married and she's never really wanted to have children.
Mm-hmm. Marriage one was really interesting as well. And I loved her family, but I just love – the thing I really love about Chelsea Handler is – she just doesn't do small talk and bullshit at all. And so
she just gets straight to it.
Yeah, and I loved it when, most of us sit there and smile our way through people trying to sell us stuff or tell us that what they're doing is really great. And, it's that whole thing. I really struggle when people say, I'm so excited, and we're standing in the middle of the supermarket.
I loved it when she interviewed the founder of the Ashley Madison website, which I think everyone knows about. It is the website that you can go and cheat on your husband or your wife. And he was just such a ball bag, and she really did give it to him, because he's sitting there next to his wife. Like, I just don't understand how a man who is married thinks that it's a good thing to then set up a website for people to go and cheat. Exactly. And his husband and wife were sitting there, oh, no, we've never cheated on each other. No, we've got a really strong marriage. It's like, no, you don't. love, you're sitting there petrified your husband's going to meet someone else online. You can see it in your face. But she told him that. You know what I mean? Like, she had no hopes for their marriage.
Nuts.
And that's what I love about her. She says things that I wish I could say.
Yes, yeah, like she does. She says all the things that we all wish we could say, but we're all too frightened to say.
Yeah.
No, I thought she was great. Thought it was really great. And I probably wasn't as big a fan before, like with – so for anyone out there who watched Chelsea – it was Chelsea Lately, wasn't it, that she was
– Yeah, Chelsea Lately on E! News. See, I used to watch that and I quite liked it. I found her really, really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you've got a podcast. Tell me.
Yeah, I've got a couple of podcasts today. One is from, it's called The Mystery Show, and it's from the podcast production company Gimlet. And if you're a big fan of podcasts, then I'm sure you would have listened to Startup and Reply All. So it's by the same guys that did that. And host Starly Kine. What a name. How good a name is that? Starly Kine. She helps guests solve mysteries. And the only rule she has is you aren't allowed to be able to solve these mysteries through the internet. So you can't just Google it and come up with an answer. It has to be mysteries that she really goes and talks to people in the area and really and solves it for you without using the internet.
Wow.
And the first episode is her friend Laura borrowed a DVD from the video store, took it back the next day, and the video store was gone. Closed down. No notice. Done. And Laura wanted to know why that happened. And so Starly went on her little detective mission to find out why the video store had closed down. It was, I mean, that sounds, the whole premise of it sounds a little bit boring, but it was really, really interesting.
And what was it? Can you tell us?
No, I'm not going to tell you. You have to listen to it.
Okay, and the other one you have is...
Really quickly, now this is, it's a podcast called I'm Just Talking Here by a girl called Ollie Wisdom. Again, what a great name. And she's a first grader from the States, and she basically just talks about her life. Now, this is only for people if you have kids in the age range of sort of 5 to 8. Like kids like Sadie, maybe Henry Hot Dog would like it, but he might even be a little bit too old now. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of quick 10-minute episodes, and Ollie chats about her life at school, her homework, her friends, and her dad is her producer and interviews her. And it's just really cute. It's a good one. I mean, our school commute is really, really short these days. We're only sort of 5-10 minutes from school, so it's something that Sadie and I can listen to in the mornings. But again, you have to have young kids. If you've got kids of 5 to 8, they'll love it. If not, don't bother listening to it.
That's fantastic. I think I love doing podcasts with the kids in the car. It's really, really good. Wonderful. Now, I had one last one, and I don't know if Stan is everywhere. It's in Australia, and it's kind of like it's like Netflix, and it's like another one of those, you know, pops up on your TV and you subscribe for a month.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we have
just an Amazon video or a Netflix.
Yeah. So we have Stan in Australia, and there is a did you watch Christmas at the Moody's?
No.
Or Christmas with the Moody's, sorry.
No.
So Christmas with the Moody's was this fantastic Australian series that came out, I want to say, 2 or maybe even 3 Christmases ago. And the premise of the series was that there was an Australian expat, young guy who'd gone to London to be a photographer, and he comes back to Australia for Christmas, and he is from one of the most, you know, Aussie suburban families, and they're all completely tragic, and it is really, really funny. It's kind of like the castle, a modern day castle, but he's groovy and he's kind of normal and they're all a little bit crazy. It's got the guy who is in Upper Middle Bogan, who's...
Oh, I've got those. I haven't watched it yet. I bought them on DVD when I was back home.
Okay. And the guy from Upper Middle Bogan, I feel really bad that I'm not saying his name. I'll make sure that it's in the show notes. But he was also the new love interest in Offspring this last season after...
Right, okay,
yeah. I don't want to say after what happened for those who haven't gone through it yet. But, yes. So it was this really, really fantastic series. And what happens is every episode is another year of him coming home.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, and so it runs for...
I can't believe I've never heard of this before.
Oh, you guys would absolutely love it. So that was a couple of Christmases ago, and then they made another series that didn't seem to sort of take off as much, but it was also about the Moodies. But this new show that I discovered, and I haven't done this for a long time, and I didn't do this even with Making a Murderer, I rolled 6 episodes in one go, sort of.
Oh, really?
And with Lizzie, and it's highly inappropriate for a 15-year-old to watch it, but, you know, we're at that stage now. We're like two bachelors living together. That we're just... But it was fantastic, and it is two Aussie cops who are sitting in a car talking to each other for most of the episode, and then two police women who are the dispatch who are talking to each other in dispatch, and then two criminals who are inside talking to each other, and it's their three different conversations, and it is hysterically funny, hysterically Australian. And I would advise anyone, if you have Stan or you can watch it, go out and look for No Activity. It's got that beautiful Dan Wiley in it. Is there anyone that doesn't love him? Every time I've said to someone, oh, it's got Dan Wiley in it, they've all gone, oh, I love him. Because he was Charlie in Love My Way as well.
Yes, that's with Asher Keddie from Offspring.
Yes. Yes.
Mary. Oh, and so you have to have a Stan subscription to watch No Activity.
I think, I don't know, and I don't know if Stan is something else somewhere else, but look up No Activity and see how you can find it or get it. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And Christmas at the Moodies.
Yes.
Or Christmas with the Moodies.
Yes. I can't believe I thought we'd talked about Christmas with the Moodies before. No,
I've never heard that before.
Wow, that was great. So, and that you'll definitely be able to find because it was on it was on the ABC.
It'll be good then. If it was on the ABC, it'll be very good. Because Mum was telling me today the new season of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Australia is starting tonight.
Did you hear who's on it?
That was our little, we love the UK version. So I've got to see if I can find that on iTunes, if they're going to play the Australian version on
iTunes.
They should,
because it was on Channel 10, so usually it kind of, the episode goes up on 10 Play.
Because apparently Shane Warne's on it.
He sure is. He sure is. Lizzie and I saw that tonight. It was on while we were cooking dinner. And I think the first 5 people that got off the plane, I was like, who was that, Lizzie? Because I was, you know, cutting onions and doing whatever. Who was that, Lizzie? Lizzie go, I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Zayden and I never know any of the celebrities on the UK one. She watches it to watch people eat cockroaches and stuff like that. I watch it for the drama around the campfire.
I can tell you on the Australian one there is a Val, whatever her name, is she Val Smith from Prisoner? She was B on Prisoner. She's on it. But everybody else, it was like, oh, I think that girl was on The Bachelor in season 2. Oh, I think he played football. Oh, I think he played rugby. Do you know, it wasn't highbrow. But, of course, Warney doesn't appear until right at the end because he doesn't have to.
Surprise, drop in.
Yes. And I can't imagine they're going to make him eat a lot of cockroaches.
No, because it's all about the audience that votes in, don't they? So maybe the audience will want to, the public will want to see him eat cockroaches. Yeah. Way off topic here. We've gone from Air Miles to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and Warney eating cockroaches.
All right, Suze, I think that's us. For this
it
week.
Is.
So,
and next week we're talking about your hidden gem. So we would love to hear from people that are in Hong Kong, Singapore, Africa, South America, wherever you are. We would love to hear from you about what your city has as a hidden gem. Might be the best place to get a kebab or the best place to go and get your tailoring done, anything like that. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, Sez, well, wish me luck for tomorrow.
Good luck.
Oh. Thank you. I think it's not going to be as bad as it's going to be when I actually leave in 3 weeks. I think that bit will be hard, but yes, it's not. It's still, oh, who am I kidding? It's going to be gross. But...
but the spring break is just around the corner.
That's right. And, you know, the thing is, she is so keen to get there. She is just...
And I think that's the good thing. If she's really keen to do it and she's excited, then I think that can make you feel a little bit better. There'd be nothing worse, I think, than dropping a kid off to boarding school and have them, you know, hanging on to your legs.
Yeah. Do you know, it says, I'll just be quick because I know a lot of people have asked me about how it's going and whatever, and I haven't been that... great on the blog lately because I've just been so busy. But one of the things for me was the kids in the boarding house have all been sort of talking to each other because they all get connected on social media. And so Lizzie's already become friends with a couple of people and she hasn't even got there yet. But last week she got an invite from one of the girls. There was, you know, the tour down under was here, the big bike race. And there was a big gala in the street, like a street party. So they shut the street off, you know, down in the it's sort of in the outer suburbs, and they shut sort of this street down. And this girl said to Lizzie, "Would you like to come and meet us? There's going to be a group of about 10 of us." Anyway, so I drove her into this place. And you can imagine, I'm so completely nervous for her, thinking, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I'm about to drop her off with 10 people that she's." Doesn't really know, but you know, they're all going to go to school together. And also because, you know, in our very sheltered life in Qatar and our very sheltered expat life, you know, Lizzie hasn't done anything really too outrageous. And, you know, I'm about to drop her somewhere where there's all ages of people and there's alcohol and there's, you know, a band and a fashion parade and whatever. But that's what 15-year-old teenagers do. Like you can get dropped at 7 o'clock and picked up at 8:30 and have a piece of pizza and a cup of coffee or a ice cream or whatever. Anyway, I dropped her and I was meeting my girlfriend because my girlfriend and I were going to go somewhere and have a drink while this all happened, and then I was going to take Lizzie home. So it was hysterical because I dropped her and hid around the corner to watch it all unfold to make sure she was all right. So I've dropped her and I've done the whole, okay, just smile, ask lots of questions, you know, just, and if it all gets bad, you know, you just ring me straight away and I'll come back and whatever. Little do I know, my girlfriend is hiding on the other corner watching it all unfold because she's just as nervous. Anyway, I watched my Lizzie go walking towards these 10 girls who all looked like little Lizzies. They all had, you know, long straight hair and, you know, similar sort of look to them. Anyway, this one girl stood up and went, "Lizzie," and like gave her a big hug. And I saw them all introducing each other, you know, "This is Lizzie, Lizzie's from Qatar, da 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 da." And when I came to pick her up an hour and a half later, she was beaming, like absolutely beaming. And, you know, she's already made sort of 3 sort of good friends that she's gone and had a smoothie with. She's walked, you know, from the school to another girl's house and back. You know, she's doing all this stuff, which is normal teenage stuff.
But how awesome for her that when she starts school tomorrow that she's already got that connection there, that there's already girls she's friends with. There's not going to be any of that awkward, "I don't know anyone, I don't know who to talk to, how do I introduce myself?" There's none of that. She's already a few girls there. That is brilliant.
Yes. So when I drove her home, she was talk, and she'd ran into a few of my friends' kids as well in the street. So she was really chuffed because it looked like she kind of knew people, do you know, because someone came up and gave her a hug and said, "Hey, Lizzie," and she was pretty pleased with that. But she actually said to me, she goes, "Mum, thank you so much for doing this, you know, this is why I really wanted to come, you know." And it was like, okay, anyway,
it was the right decision. It's going to be really hard, but it was the right decision to make.
Yes, and I will keep telling myself that for the next Okay, Sez, it's been lovely talking to you. And
you too, and good luck for tomorrow. Give Lizzie my love.
I will, and we'll see everyone next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.